Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Jay Young? You ready?
The hell, what's going on? Yeah, I'm ready.
What's going on, man?
Huh? How you been?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Same here. Same here.
But, we give out these awards for the year. My boxer of the year is going to go to Andre Ward.
Okay, yeah, that's a good pick.
My trainer of the year, though, is a tie between Virgil Hunter's trainer and trainer? Virgil Hunter and Terrence Crawford's trainer. I don't think Terrence Crawford's trainer gets any respect.
That's who I thought it was going to be up there, you know, and of course, Canelo and Triple G's trainer just for getting him in the situation and putting him in the spotlight and having the game plan for them to set them up where they're at right now.
Backup would be John David Jackson. I mean, he hasn't done a bad job. He did Kovalev, he did Bernard's last fight. I think Bernard should hang it out, but still, at the end of the day, you know, John David Jackson is definitely one of those trainers that are up there. But my trainer of the year is the tie between Virgil Hunter and my man Terrence Crawford's training. And my fighter of the year, Crawford already got fighter of the year, so it has to be.
Yeah, yes, sir.
you can't really
argue against that either. He did really well this year. And he got a lot of attention. He brought a lot of eyes to his corner. It was really, really good watching him fight this year.
Yeah. And then I want to say what I was proud of most in 2016. I guess Ward Kovalev. I mean, Abner Morales bounced back. Leo Santa Cruz is going to have to bounce back. Nicholas Walters was a big, big disappointment. So there's a lot of things look forward in 2017. I'm glad that they got the fight signed for Triple G versus Danny Jacobs, but we're going to have to seriously see how far this goes. I don't want all of a sudden in March for him to be like, oh, I can't do it because this or that went wrong.
Yeah, March is a long time from now, from when they signed it. You know, who knows what's going to happen between there. And I've also heard them setting up another fight for Triple G and Canelo in September. You know, that's even further away. So it's like there's no telling what's going to happen in between that. And then how long is that training camp going to be, too?
Because I'm just sitting back waiting for them to make the excuse to say why Triple G can't fight Jacobs. Because I know that's coming.
Yeah.
I think that's coming too.
Because I'm pretty sure Jacobs is going to come out on top of that one.
Now
expose Triple
okay,
G a little
G,
bit, you know.
Yeah, what they're going to do is like, okay, Triple G is going to vacate the title because of this, this, and this. And everybody's going to give him an excuse for vacating the title. And nobody's going to hold him accountable for it.
Yeah. That's why I say his coach's trainer should get coach's trainer of the year because they're making plans like that. You know, they're trying to do their best to keep him in a good position where he's at and avoid the people that are going to add that L to his record. So, you know, it's funny seeing the team make those decisions because if it is Triple G, you know he's gonna want to make that fight. He wants to fight. He's a fighter, but I'm pretty sure it's his coaches and his team that are. Hey man, you might not be ready for this, or this guy might mess up a good thing that we got going right now. We're all getting paid right now. Let's keep that rolling. So I can see that happening.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what fights of the year I liked. I guess I'd have to give it to Porter Thurman. I mean,
Porter Thurman,
I
yeah. I just watched the highlights of that again a couple of days ago, man. And you know, like we talked about that not too long ago. So, you know, Thurman was slipping and dipping and stuff, but you know, you watch it again, and Sean Porter was doing his thing, and he was aggressive and walking him down the whole time. That was an action-packed fight. That was a good fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that has to be my fight of the year. I can't think of no. I mean, the Chalumba versus Kovalov was actually a good fight because he gave Kovalov problems. But
yes,
as far as toe for toe, round for round, that was good. I guess the Salido, what was that last fight? Orlando Salido fought it. That was a good one. I can't think of who he fought. He went 12 rounds, and he said he'll be willing to fight Lomachenko again. And I don't think Lomachenko will fight him again. I think Lomachenko will big time him and say, oh, it's no point in fighting him. But I think Salido gets him again.
I always enjoy watching Lomachenko fight. So anybody he's up against, you know, especially somebody that would give him a challenge, I would like to see him move like that. I was watching, was it Augustus Burton? That's his name? The drunken boxer?
Yeah.
Old school boxer? Yeah, I was watching him move, you know, and they don't move the same, but that level of movement, like the difficulty of hitting them, is almost the same, you know, just because Lomachenko moves so well. Yeah, I just enjoy watching guys like that fight, just because they're so hard to hit. It's hard to hit. So if somebody that can put it on them and tag him a few times, put some hands on him, like Mickey Ward did to Burton. You know, like a good fight like that, I would definitely enjoy that. Watch somebody stick and move versus somebody that's going to bring it to him.
Yeah, I want to talk about Bernard's last fight. I'm glad he's retiring. but at the end of the day, I just don't understand. Well, maybe he thought he was pushed out the ring. He probably couldn't believe he fell like that. So maybe he
yeah.
didn't think it. Then he rethought it. He was just like, no, I'm doing it.
Yeah, and he did hit. Look like it hit the back of his head when he hit the ground. That's probably like a 3 or 4 foot, 4 or 5 foot drop, you know, out the ring to land on your head. So he probably was hurt from that too, along with the punches. So, you know, my main thing with that was that, you know, 51 years old, you know, win or lose, who cares? But that's your last fight. Get back in the ring, man.
Right.
Get back in the ring and say your goodbyes. That's the only problem I have with that fight. Yeah, you got knocked out.
Yeah.
But that might have been your test, you know. Your test might not have been to make it through the whole fight. Your test might have been to swallow your pride and end your career the way you want to end it, by getting back in the ring after you got knocked out and saying thank you and goodbye to all the fans and the people that supported you. But instead, he kind of like, oh, my legs hurt. I don't want to go back up there. You know, which let me know that he was extremely embarrassed. Extremely embarrassed.
Yeah, he was embarrassed.
Because he was talking a lot of trash before the fight. And, you know, you think of a fighter like him has been around for 20-something years. You know, maybe even longer than that. Who knows how long he's really been around. But you think a fighter like that would know better about, you know, the trash talking and the shit talking and the being extra cocky. It's almost like he was trying to plant seeds for the guy that he was fighting. You know, it's like he was trying to set up that guy's career, because there was no reason to even talk about that guy that much, because I didn't know who he was. But I know who he is now, because you must have pissed him off enough for him to knock you out the ring. So I definitely know about that guy now, and he's a heavy hitter, so.
Yeah, for sure. He seemed like he was turning over. I mean, it does seem like an opponent that Bernard could beat, though.
Yeah.
It was 3 years ago. I mean, if it was 2013, Bernard would beat the crap out of that dude.
Not even 3 years. Not even 3 years. If he would have been throwing his hands and not walking along the ropes the whole fight, he would have had a better chance. But he wasn't really fighting. And if you listen to his trainer, is telling him after each round, just keep walking around the ropes. Just keep walking around the ropes. And, I understand you're confident enough to play on the ropes. But eventually, if you're going against a guy that hits like that, he's going to get you, you know. So that's all that happened. He finally landed some good punches because the guy was swinging hard the whole fight. You know, and Bernard was kind of teasing him and playing with him, not really fighting, but more like, okay, yeah, that was nothing. Okay, you know, that was nothing. I'm going to keep walking around, keep moving around. And so he was kind of toying with this young, powerful kid, and he got embarrassed, which he should have, because, you know, if you say it's your last fight, yeah, it's your last fight. How do you want him to go out? We already knew it was going to be the last time you were going in there.
I don't understand. I didn't have Brother Nazim with him anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, why wouldn't you have your regular corner guy with you in your last fight? It's your last fight. You know, sometimes the decision making of these guys is just, you know. Also, we don't know, you know, what else is going on in the personal life. But at the same time,
it's
just
like, brother, now they've been there for all your big fights. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I don't think put anything personal aside. You should put him there, but why get John David Jackson? That was just the guy you went against when you fought Kovalov, and you've been inactive for, like, that just sounds stupid to me.
Yeah, it wasn't smart. It was none of that stuff was smart in that last move. That's why I just don't understand it. And I kind of feel like, yeah, we knew it was his last fight, and so is he trying to pave the way for another guy? Because, you know, he knew it was his last fight too. He could have easily picked a guy that wasn't going to be as powerful. But he did, you know, he picked a powerful guy to go up against. He picked a young, strong guy that not too many people know about, but has the athletic ability and the skill to compete at that level. So, to me, when I saw that fight, I felt like he was giving his last name is Smith, right? Joe Smith.
Johnny Lawson?
Yeah.
Johnny Lawson?
Right. Yeah.
Paul Smith and stuff like that?
Yeah. And so I feel that he was kind of giving that guy a career boost, you know? Like, hey, I'm the great Bernard Hopkins. This is my last fight. Let's give this other guy a chance after me. But he probably didn't expect for that guy to put him to sleep like that, you know? He's probably just trying to get that guy on the big stage.
Well, like you said before, not even 3 years. Bernard said, and another thing that was his problem, he was inactive for, like, what's that, 14? This is 16. He was inactive for, what, 2 years?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest problem for him, is knocking the rust off the rust.
Yeah. Well, because if he would have fought the dude that was number two behind Kovalov, he probably would have did good and did that, and then he would have beat Paul Smith. He would have beat him on points easily if he would have been active. But, I mean, because at the end of the day, if that guy's that much younger and Bernard's 51, Bernard was still catching him on some shots, and he was still frustrating him when you think about it.
Yes, he was. He was, for sure. He was definitely – I mean, the majority of the fight was Bernard teaching that guy how to box without really even throwing too many punches. You know, he had his shell up. He was defending himself pretty well. But, you know, you can't just sit there and defend without throwing punches, because eventually a guy's going to catch you, especially if they're throwing that many punches. And that guy was swinging for the fences. You know, like, that was his goal. That's his goal in every fight that he's in, is to put people to sleep. I mean, he's been knocking people out. So if you're going against a guy that's been knocking people out and you're just laying on the ropes, not really doing too much, yeah, you're going to go through the ropes. And that's exactly what happened. He got punched through the ropes, not pushed, but punched.
No, he got punched, and then put his body through with the punch.
Yeah. And the thing that kills me the most about that is not the performance and not the fight, but all the stuff afterwards. You know, you just hate to see your legend. Yeah, he's disappointed, but it's more like he's making excuses too. And even after you've seen the film, I'm pretty sure you realize that the guy punched you out the ring, but you're still trying to tell people that he pushed you. Yeah, he pushed me out the ring, and I hit my head on the ground, and I hurt my leg, and this, that, and the other, and all that's fine. But the only thing I really wanted to see you do was get back up and say bye to everybody, you know, because you knew it was your last fight. You know, there's nothing really to prove any further in your career. You're 51. You're a legend. You've been beating up everybody. You've been doing it for so long. You're a freak of nature. They call you the alien. You know, I just wanted to see him, whether win or loss, I just wanted to see him stand up at the end of the fight and show his, you know, say that he loved the fan, loved the sport, and appreciate everything that is done for him. But instead, it's kind of like, oh, man, his last fight. And he made excuses, and he's not really, what is it called? He's not responsibility for his performance, you know, in the end of his career, which I think is the most important, because that last fight is how we're going to remember you. And in this last fight, you went out the ring, you got knocked out the ring. And I don't want to remember Bernard Hopkins as the guy that got knocked out the ring and landed on his head, because that was kind of a shocking image, you know. I never really seen nothing like that happen so fast, you know. And he was out the ring in less than 3 seconds, so that kind of shocked me, you know. And then,
you know,
so it was the shock factor, and then the disappointment right after that.
You know what's really funny about that is that I watched this documentary of Muhammad Ali versus Larry Holmes in the middle of the night the other night. It was just on TV. And I saw Muhammad Ali went through his last way, and I noticed that, like, his trainers, some of his lawyers, some of his doctors who have been waiting forever, they told him, I'm not going to be with you in 5 years.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, some of his other guys, though, Jerome, they were with him. Like they said, they with him, like all the guys who kept needing money, like all his corner guys and all these other guys out of nowhere who kept needing money, they kept on saying, no, you good, you can still fight, champ. And, you know, Brett Sugar and some of the other legends who were boxing commentators, they sat there and they looked at it and they said, man, that was the worst thing Ali should have did, because I honestly think that's what slowed him down and stepped his vision. But one thing I like about Bernard is that Bernard is financially successful because of his promotion and everything else. So he won't need that mess.
He was fighting for the money.
And exactly. And he at least said afterwards, like, yeah, this is my last fight for sure, 100%. Like, this is my last fight.
Should you say that before or after the fight, if you're him now at this point? Does that change your fight though? You know, okay, this is my last fight. Do I fight? You know, how am I going to go out on my last fight? He was probably thinking that 2-3 weeks before the fight even started. Like, how do I want to go out? How do I want to go out? You know, and so he probably. You know, I don't know, once you say something's your last, you know, you're probably already thinking about the vacation time after that. So,
he thought he was going to outpoint him. I thought he was going to outpoint him. I thought he was just going to take, because, I mean, that's all he really needed to do was outpoint him. He didn't need to
and he was doing fine doing that.
He was, because he was actually up in some of the judges' scorecards. So, well, you know, like you said, if you want to be against the ropes, you got to move around. Like you said, you can't just be against the ropes and just be chilling.
Yep.
So
I don't care how good your defense is.
Yeah, another good fight of the year candidate to me was that Robert Easter Jr. fight in September.
Yeah, I was trying to watch that one again the other day.
That was definitely another fight of the year candidate. That was a competitive fight. Both of those guys were fighting for a world title. That was one of the greatest fights I've seen in a while. So,
that was a good matchup. I hope they can do that again, tell you the truth, because that was really good. Somebody that was technical versus somebody that was very long and smooth and stylish. you know, and just happened to be the longer, smoother, stylish guy won that fight in good fashion too. So that was a definitely exciting fight, and I hope to see more like that. You know, I hope this next year brings us even more fights, not so many one-sided fights, but some wars. You know, that's what you want, is to see these guys stand in front of each other, throw hands, take punches, and last, you know, last at least to the ninth or tenth round before somebody goes down, not the fourth. You know, just think about all the people that paid for that Ronda Rousey fight last night. You know,
I didn't even want to talk about it, but you know what? I knew that's what was going to happen to her. Because I was done with her. She got dropped by her own, because it's just like, you sitting there listening to ESPN and all these fake pro justice warriors hype you up, thinking you can really be the dude. And then you got Clark, and then you got Molly Walked again. And the same thing happened with Pacquiao. They tried to say, oh, he's going to beat Floyd. And Michelle beat him, and all these fake pro justice warriors trying to make him look bad. And then all of a sudden Pacquiao got the name, you know. So I understand why fighters more often need to be better than just say, like, you know, I ain't with the politics of this bullcrap. I ain't with it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't try to make people look bad off something that happened before. And the dude that she's dating,
politics will get you beat up.
Yeah. The dude that she's dating in front of, quote unquote, was arrested for domestic violence or accused of it. So it's just like, it's just all this game of who this media tries to make look bad or look good. And at the end of the day, they lose. Kind of why Donald Trump's in office right now. People are really tired of him trying to force through me who I think should be a good person and who is a bad person.
Yep, and that's what that Amanda Nunes said. They still came up to her after the fight and started trying to talk about Ronda, and she said, "Forget about Ronda. She's retired." You know, and that's true, because this girl just held on to her title. She's been the face for a while, and they're still trying to blow up Ronda Rousey. And it's like, why are you trying to blow up the loser?
They knew Ronda was a hype job, bro. That's why she got that record $3 million, because they had to beg her to come out of retirement, because she was kind of putting her retirement anyway. But UFC was like, let's see if we can get one more check about her, right? Like, you know what I mean? So they gave her that $3 million. What Ronda's going to do, she's going to take that $3 million. She's going to go back to Hollywood. She's going to get into acting. You got these fake pro-justice warriors and all these people in the media who want to make her feel like it's okay. So she'll always have a job. But to me, I'm just always going to look at it like, you the person who tried to disrespect Floyd, and you got yourself dropped getting caught up in that stupid stuff instead of staying in your craft. Say what's wrong when it's right, say what's wrong when it's wrong. Don't try and paint somebody out to be something when you're in COVID, your damn self.
That's true. Now, on that same note, if I was in her position, I wouldn't say no to any of that either. I would definitely roll with it and flow with it. And, oh, you want to make me the superstar? You want to make me the face of your business? I'll do it. Even if I am at the end of my career and I might lose soon, I'll still be your face. You know, and make you money and make me money too, because you know, when it's all said and done, that's what they are fighting for, is money. Yeah, they're fighting for pride and for the glory and stuff like that, but they're also fighting for that paycheck. So if you offer somebody $3 million. And she knows she's about to get pieced up, you know, still take that chance, because she ain't got no hands. No hands. And for the people that watch the sport to know that you don't have no hands, no striking, and you're about to go against one of the better strikers, I wouldn't pay any money for that, because you know it's not going to last long. I would wait to do exactly what I do and wait for the Facebook live feedback to roll through and just watch it on my cell phone. 48 seconds. Save me $60.
She knew that. Ronda knew what she was doing. That's why I told you. She knows she really didn't want to fight. She was like, I'm going to try it. She knew she wasn't going to win that fight, but she was like, I'm going to pocket this easy $3 million. And UFC trying to be politically correct, they just did that to try and say, oh, well, she was the only person to get that big of a punch. Yeah, they did that big of a punch to run with the storyline to make y'all feel better. But at the end of the day, it's a lot more fights that people will pay for other than see Ronda Rousey. Because 90% of the people who were interested in her before don't want to watch her fights now. I guarantee you that so, that there was that they did not get a record pay per view crowd last night. Not with all the phone games on and everything else. Like people,
yep, people were talking about football. Yeah, people were talking about the Miami game, and whoa, what's the check out this game, you know? And then all of a sudden you see, yeah, Ronda Rousey gets beat in 48 seconds. You're like, oh, so the fight was on and over that fast?
Right, that's what it was. Like, it was pointless. But I'm gonna read out this boxing schedule we got coming up. It's about to get hot soon. Arizona's back in the ring. January 13th, Anthony Durant back in on that card with him.
Charlo's got Hadley coming up.
14th. Huh?
You hear me? Charlo's about to fight again. He's got Hadley coming up in February.
Yeah, I meant to talk to you about that. Go ahead and elaborate on that because you know Mr. Hadley well, and he's actually fighting him. He's actually worked his way up. So go ahead and elaborate on that fight.
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited about it, you know, but skill wise, and the probably the fighter that's supposed to win is Charlo, because he's looking good, man. That dude is looking good. He's looking like he's just getting on his pedal. You know, he's just getting things rolling to where he's about to make himself a household name. Him and his brother, you know, because there are two of them. But the way he's fighting right now, especially the way he landed that uppercut against Williams and finished Williams, and Williams is supposed to be a tough top competitor. You know, it's hard to go against a guy that's in that position right now that's just feeling good about themselves and feeling good about their career, opposed to Hadley, who, you know, signed with Don King not too long ago, and his career has been a little bit different. You know, he started off good, and he had some bad fights, and then he got it rolling again. So it's going to be a good fight because Hadley is definitely determined and wants to prove himself as one of the best. But then you got Charlo, who's already rolling, you know, so they might meet right there at the top of their game. And I think the winner of that is going to make a statement in that weight class for sure and probably be the top guy. And I would have to say that's Charlo that's going to end up winning that one.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that because I don't think we actually got to talk about the Charlo knockout of Julian Williams. I'm embarrassed to be from the city of Philly. He made the city of Philly look bad that night. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, because he got knocked down with a jab first. That's why. He got knocked down with a stiff jab, right? The first knockdown was a stiff jab, I think. If I can remember correctly. And then he came back a couple rounds later and hit him with just a perfectly timed uppercut. And it didn't even look like a hard punch. It was just on the button, on the right time. And I don't know. He maybe could have got up, you know, maybe could have. I don't know. I don't know about that. Because you hear about the Philly guys being some of the toughest guys, you know. The tough guys from Philly got a coach in the gym acting like Philly's the toughest place to be. So, you know, you fight a guy out of there, you expect him to have just a little bit more heart than that and be able to take a punch. But it kind of seemed like he had
Durant,
a glass chin.
Right. Not only that, Jarrell, you see how Danny Garcia acts. That's not our motto to talk trash. You see how Bernard Hopkins acts and all this. That's not our motto to talk trash to people.
Yeah,
you know,
out of character.
Go in there and get busy, and if you lose, they like, dang, I won, but, man, I'm hurting. This dude was serious. Like the whole Rocky aura is what Philly is. And for him to go in there talking trash on some Adrian Broner stuff and then get knocked out, it's like, all right. Like, they're like, what are we supposed to do with that? Like, people in the streets go like, yo, so what's up with that? Like, yo.
We should do a whole show just on trash talking and the negative effects, because it seems like every fight that I've ever watched, every fight, if somebody doesn't shake hands in the beginning, or if somebody just straight up disrespecting those, that's normally the guy that loses. You know, you never see the disrespectful guy really ever come on top, and I just think it's just a funny way of instant karma playing itself out. Because that's the biggest thing to me is when you meet in the middle before the fight starts, one guy holds their hand out to, you know, tap gloves or shake hands or whatever, and the other one doesn't, And then 30 seconds later, that guy is knocked out on the ground. And I'm like, man, you should have shook that dude's hand, man. You know? It happens so much, you would think that the fighter would learn, hey, if you trash talk, you know, be realistic about it. Don't be disrespectful with the trash talk. If I was to trash talk somebody, it would just be pointing out the skill sets that they don't have. I wouldn't be talking about their girlfriend. I wouldn't be talking about, you know, stuff that has nothing to do with what we're about to get down in the ring and do. But a lot of the people start, you know, attacking the other fighter's character and, oh, he's a bum and this, that. And there's no way he's a bum. He's about to fight you. So are you fighting bums? No, you should just be quiet and fight, you know. That way you don't look bad whenever it's over.
So that's what I'm saying. That's like having the crumb gym look bad. It's like making the crumb gym look bad in Detroit. Like, you can't be a fighter from the crumb gym. If you is going to lose, you lose when everybody like, hey, that was a good fight. But you can't be from Philly and, you know, the hard work. You know, boxing, anybody,
yes.
Tell you talk to somebody, they say, what's the top fight towns? It's somewhere between New York, Philly, somewhere in Texas, and in L.A. If those are the places,
yes.
Where, you know, Chicago's another one. Florida.
Yes, sir, Chicago,
those,
yeah.
It's five, ten, you know what I'm saying? There's five, 10 places in the world where, like, yo, that's a fight town.
Yeah, that's where they told me to go.
Huh?
That's where they told me to go. They told me to go to either Philly, Chicago, find somewhere in the Midwest, or go ahead and go out to the West Coast. And that's what they told me to do. So I was like, man, I don't know anybody in Philly. Yeah.
You do now. I wish I'd have met you before because I was living in Philly earlier this year. Then you could have came out there and got busy right away. I mean, Atlantic City's right there.
Yeah. Well, things are moving pretty smooth for me out here in Vegas right now too. So Vegas isn't, you know, even that's where they say the city is. Yep, and the thing with Vegas is,
you just got to remember Philly's in that cold. So when you get that cold in the morning, you train, you're gonna have a little extra anger with you when you get in the ring.
Yes, that's true. So Vegas is a little different type of spot because it's like the mosh pit where people from everywhere come. New York, this place, that place, this place, and they're trying to make a name for themselves. So some guys are on, some guys are just punching bags, you know. And they got a lot of punching bags out here. I started to realize that. And they won't hesitate to make you a punching bag either. If they don't feel that you're the guy, if you're not the main guy, oh, you're going to be a punching bag for a main fighter that flies out to Vegas for a couple months to train for their fight at the Mandalay Bay. You know, oh, you're here? Okay, cool. I'm going to get some cheap training. So Vegas is a good spot, but you have to be ready for it. You know, you have to be ready for it. I'm pretty sure that's how it is everywhere else. But I feel like in the Midwest, where I was before this, you can focus more on your skills opposed to the people around you and setting up your career, which is not really what you want. You know, yeah, you want to work on your skills, but you want to do that at the same time while you're building your team, you know. And so that's the only real difference that I've seen from Vegas and Dallas and from Texas in the Midwest is that they have everything here. They have your team, they got your coach, they got your manager, they got all that stuff at the gym waiting for you to prove yourself, opposed to you proving yourself while you're building up your record, and then people coming at you, you know. So it's a good place to kind of market yourself. I guess that's the best way to put it. Market yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. That would have been good about Cincinnati too. That, you know, you came out there, you could have worked out Verna while she won, Coach Stafford. But like you said, Vegas, you just got to go out there and you just got to be on your grind and be like, yo, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah. And they'll make you go now, too, if you say that. So if you're not ready, don't say that. Because if you ready, if you say you're ready to go pro, oh, they won't hesitate to put you in there. Like, oh, you want to go pro? Cool, I got you a fight next week. And then it'll be against some stud, you know, that you might not have been ready for, but they'll get that quick money. You know, a lot of people throwing each other.
The blessing is that if you actually do beat that stud, then you the guy that quick.
Yep, and that's how fast it happens, too. You know, the other day some guy came in the gym with a whole team, I'm not going to say his name, but hooping and hollering and easy work and let's make this quick and stuff. And after I beat him, then, no, you know, nobody's saying his name anymore. You know, everybody started turning their heads towards me and who's this guy. So the tables turn quickly in the sport too. You know, they say you can't lose at all, especially if you're not at that point yet where you have 20 something plus fights and an undefeated record. Then maybe it's more acceptable to lose after that. But when you're trying to build yourself up, you can't lose at all. Because as soon as you lose, oh, this is not the guy.
One thing I've learned about boxing, MMA, and any combat sports is that you do better if you do less trash talking. The only people that's going to be great at trash talking was two people, Muhammad Ali and Floyd Mayweather Jr. And Floyd didn't really do trash talking after the weigh-in. Floyd did trash talking to hype the fight up. Once the fight was hyped up, he stopped talking.
Yeah, I try and do my trash talking in the most subtle way, you know. I might smile at you after I hit you clean with a jab, you know. My trash talk will be in the ring, but it won't even be with my mouth. It'll be with my body language. You know, I'll be talking trash to you with my body language, showing you how comfortable I am with you. Showing you that I could just outskill you and I'm going to finish you. And then after it's all said and done, then I let my mouth do the work, you know. But it's kind of hard to talk and fight at the same time, you know. That's why Muhammad Ali was so good, because he could do that. Talk and fight. That's hard to do, you know. It's hard to do.
Yeah. And back to that Julian Williams situation. I mean, I can't get mad at Charlo for telling him to get your ass out of here afterwards when he tried to shake his hands. Because I know if somebody had been talking that much trash to me, I would have tried to do the same thing. Let me get out of here. Make it out of my face.
Yep. Especially afterwards. It probably feels that much better after you beat somebody that's been talking so much trash to you.
Yeah.
And then you finish him in that type of fashion, too, with a nice one punch to the chin, and he's down, you know. It's not even a combination, just a nice timed uppercut, and the fight was over. And you walk out without a scratch. So you was talking all that trash, and you barely even did any damage to me. So, you know, maybe you should have done less talking and more working.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was satisfied with that win, that knockout.
Yeah, it was one heck of a year for fights. I'm gonna say what I want to happen before they kick us off. And what I don't want to see a Triple G, honestly, versus Canelo. I'd rather see Canelo versus a Charlo twin. He already fought Ross, so not him again. A Charlo twin or somebody else. I would rather see Triple G fight Andre Ward and somebody in the middleweight.
Well, I kind of do for this purpose, that after they fight, one of them isn't going to be famous no more. You know, after those two guys fight, they're going to have to find somebody else. They're going to have to find another big name to make famous and make popular, because it's just going to be like, okay, well, that chapter's over, and I'm ready for that chapter to be over with those two. So I hope they do. I hope they do get it on and determine who's the better out of the two. But what I don't want to happen after that is to them to make like a Conor McGregor publicity guy out of either one of those guys, because neither one of them has a great personality, and I don't want to see them on TV every week. So whoever wins out of that, yeah, let them be, you know, let them get their shine time for a little while, but look for somebody else, somebody at least knows how to speak good English.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Triple G loses. They're going to still have him up. Find an excuse for him saying since they took too long and it outweighed his something. If Canelo loses, it's not even going to matter if they fight because Canelo's got a ridiculous fan base and they'll just say, all right, Canelo's going to go back to 154 and dominate.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true. So you're saying that you'd rather them just fight somebody else completely?
I want Triple G to fight 160-pounders. What, life for 160-pounders, Jarrell? I don't want to hear him about him. No more catch weight. No more somebody move up to fight him. You move up to fight somebody or you fight somebody that's 160. I don't want to hear about you moving down or somebody moving up to you no more. It's your turn.
Yeah, we talked about that. And we talked about that. How that's to me that is kind of cheating, you know. Like I'm a big guy. I don't want to fight other big guys. Let me lose some weight. Let me lose some weight to get underneath myself and fight where I'm not even comfortable physically, but I know that I'll dominate the weight class. And you know that's a good strategy, but at that level that they're at, where you're supposed to be the best. Man, you fight. You fight whoever they say is the best at that time. So it can't be somebody smaller than you, you know. It has to be somebody that could potentially beat you. So you're right. You know, go up a weight or fight where you're supposed to be at. Don't go down anymore.
Another person I want to see, even though I like him, I want to see Adrian Broner fight some elite competition. He's met some good guys, but I want to see him fight elite competition this year only.
Oh yeah, one fight before we go is that Keith Thurman Danny Garcia fight that's coming up in about 2 or 3 months. That fight, that's going to be one I'm looking forward to next year. You know that there's been some trash talking in that one too, and it's more from Keith Thurman's side, and which I think that's funny because
when we tell you about Jarrell, Danny Garcia represents that real three fighter. Less trash talking.
Yeah, and so that kind of goes along with our topic today, you know, because Keith Thurman, that's kind of out of his character to be talking that much trash. And, yeah, he talks trash, but it's more like a confident thing. It used to be a confident thing in what he could do and his abilities. But now it's kind of turned into this other guy sucks. And I'm like, oh, the other guy can't suck. He's got a belt. He just won another belt, you know, so it's like, how can you say he sucks? You need to be getting prepared and get ready. And then after you beat him, if he sucks, then you can say he sucks. But, you know, if you're talking trash to try and get under his skin, I wouldn't be talking trash to motivate. Motivate the other guy to beat my ass bad, you know, to Bernard Hopkins me. But I don't see that happening against Keith Thurman. I think it's going to be a good fight. But you know, I used to be a Thurman fan, but on this fight, I might be going for Garcia just because I don't want to hear that shit either, you know?
Yeah, Keith talks too damn much sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he doesn't need to either because he's good enough and skilled enough to where he could just let that show for him and the excitement of his fights take over because he's an exciting fighter to watch. You know, and that alone should be good enough because your voice isn't that great anyway, and you're not talking about much. So you just let your amazing fighting, your exciting fighting get your pub for you, and then maybe people would